Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Senior Pastor Randy Bain. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
It's a little different this morning than I think it is, different for me anyway. We're going to look at the two, annunciation passages, at least in my mind. Luke chapter 1 is the passage where the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, but Matthew chapter 1 is where Joseph has a visitation in a dream. So if you're using that Bible in the pews, then you need to keep your fingers in those two, because we're going to stay in those two passages the entire time. If you're on your phone, you'll just have to figure that out, how you do that. But let's look at, we're going to read two long passages. So Luke 1, 26 to 38 is the Annunciation to Mary. Hear the word of God. Now in the sixth month, of what? What?
Elizabeth's
pregnancy. So Zachariah and Elizabeth are now pregnant 6 months. 6 months later. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and was pondering what kind of greeting this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, also the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth herself has conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called infertile is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." Mary said, "Behold, the Lord's bondservant, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now we're going to skip a little shorter. Matthew's Gospel, 18 through 24. Matthew 1, 18 to 24. This is Joseph's hearing about things. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, since he was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had thought this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." Now all this took place so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. "Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They shall name him Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. Joseph awoke from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the beauty of the Christmas narrative, Lord, that we get to read it. We've heard it before, but Lord, to read it again. And I pray even now you would stir our faith, O God, that the Annunciation, the announcements that went out to Mary and Joseph, Lord, would come afresh to us, and we might be angel messengers to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Put a couple verses together for key verses. I mean, the whole sections are key verses, but in Luke 1, 30 and 31, would you read that with me? And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus." Luke 1, 30, 31. Remember where you were when you heard big news? remember the exact moment? I mean, we have just read two big moments. I remember when President Kennedy was assassinated. Wow. Some of you are like, really? I mean, that was like 1963 or something like that. Because I was in third grade, and I was run-walking down the hall at school. You know, you're not allowed to run in the hallway, but if you're in a hurry. And we were a late bus rider. That means, you know, they had the short bus, or not, early bus would take a trip. Then they would come back and get us. So we had like a half hour to wait at school. So we would get, it was nice in November. It was a nice day, and we got to go out for recess. And I remember being another kid, I can't remember his name, but he was a year younger than me, but I remember us like run walking down the hall. We were leading the pack out to the playground. And I remember him saying to me, me saying to him, I heard that the President was shot. Did you hear the President was shot? I mean, that's the first I remember actually knowing that. Didn't know anything about it, just knew that. I remember where I was when 9/11 happened. I was living in Rockwood at the time, and I went down, taking my car to the garage, and right across from the garage was the hardware store in Rockwood, and the mechanic wasn't in the garage. So I saw, I think a note in the door, he was at the hardware store, so I walked over to the hardware store to try to get the mechanic to come back to the garage to work on my car, and they were watching the television in the hardware store. And while we stood there and watched, I'm still like trying to, not getting the gravity of what had happened, I was still trying to encourage the mechanic, like, can we, like, go to the garage, you know, let's go over. And the other plane hit, the second plane hit. And so I clearly remember that. I remember when God called me to full-time, when I acknowledged God's call to full-time ministry. It was in the fall of 1979. I was at a cluster conference. It was a charge conference. We were in Ringgold Church, and that's up in Jefferson County. And the DS says, anybody feel called into the ministry? And I remember that moment, the Holy Spirit just said, well, that's you. And I raised my hand, you know. Darlene, I had not talked about it. I raised my hand and said, yes, God is calling me in the ministry. I clearly remember that. And I also remember the first, when Darlene and I found out we were expecting with our first child. We had been to a clinic in East Brady, which was, you know, to get Darlene's, you know, exams and stuff done. And we decided we would wait a couple years before we had any children until we got the farmhouse remodeled. That was the plan, our plan. Well, her time of the month never came after that. So we went back to that clinic, and the nurse or the PA or the, probably was a doctor, told us, oh, you're expecting. Like, oh, we are. So that whole remodeled farmhouse went out the window. That plan was gone. But I clearly remember that. So the messengers I got, I saw it on television. I guess just by the Holy Spirit about the calling into ministry, I heard a still small voice speaking to me, and I had a doctor like talking to us. How would you announce big news if you could do it? I think probably today we would do it via social media, maybe a television ad. Billboards still seem pretty big. I mean, now we have the electronic signs. I know everyone up and down the road is now putting these electronic digital signs out. We could do all that. God did it through an angel visitation of Mary, and he did it in a dream to Joseph. And so what I want to do is go through there. I have 7 points in the sermon. Again, it won't be long. I mean, I think we'll be short on each point. But it's really just a, I was looking through this, trying to analyze these connections, see how they compared, how they differed. And so what I do is just going to go look through these. These are some observations, 7 observations, as I compared the 2 announcements. And so they compare and contrast them. So let's look at those. Let's, number one, look at the messengers. Matthew 1:20, it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. It doesn't say the angel of the Lord. That's always usually designated for Jesus in the Old Testament. But an angel of the Lord, and we don't know which one, but appeared to Joseph in a dream. So God used a dream to speak to Joseph. I don't know if I said Moses, I meant Joseph. And then Luke 1, it was the angel Gabriel. It was an angelic visitation with Mary. The angel Gabriel himself came and spoke to Mary face to face. Face to face. So as I think about that, I think I want to apply it directly to my life. How does God speak to me? I mean, how do I hear from God? You know, do you hear one particular way? Is it, And I think God speaks to us in a thousand ways. And I think the problem is we only listen in one way. You know, however it works with me. I mean, I like to be hear from God through Scripture. So I'm like, I want to hear from the Word. Or the still small voice. You know, I often, you know, hear that whisper in my ear. A thought will be given to me from the Lord. And I just know it's Him. Sometimes I'll wait for confirmation, but I just know it's Him. But He speaks a thousand different ways. His words are a still small voice, a dream, a thought, maybe a physical discomfort. I heard somebody giving a testimony that kept mentioning God winks, just these little coincidences you just see, like you know that's God. To the Magi, He spoke through a star. He's got the whole world in His hands, right? He can do anything He wants. He can speak, and He wants to communicate with you. If you want to hear from Him, listen. Listen. Mm-hmm. You know, I appreciate people that are prayers with prayer lists. And that has been very effective in my life at times where you go down a list and you just pray it. You know, we used to, in one of my churches, we had a prayer vigil every month, and we had a big stack of cards, and you would come in and pray and move the marker to where you ended. And when your hour was done, you left, someone else came in, they picked it right up there, and they would pray through that stack. Maybe they'd go through it twice if, you know. I had one guy that if nobody signed up overnight, he would come in at 2 and pray, and if nobody was following him, well, then he would pray through 3, and then he would pray to 4. He just kept praying until somebody relieved him. You know, so he would go through that stack many times. I praise God for that kind of faithfulness. But in your praying, do you ever stop and listen? You know, sometimes we're so busy pouring out to God, we don't, like, stop. Just listen, you know, either through the Word, through a prayer request, just through your spirit, listen to Him. Are you hearing from God? Are you listening? Doesn't have to be a big announcement. It can be a small one. Second thing I observed is the tenses of the verbs. And I know some people are like, Arlie, I don't want an English lesson today. But just go with me a little bit. The tenses of the verbs. Look at Luke 1:31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb. What tense is that? Well, we don't want to get too technical, teachers. But it's future, right? It's in the future. It's going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. She isn't pregnant yet. And I just wonder, do you think God was waiting for her to say yes? I mean, God doesn't force His way with us. And I love Jesus' invitation to be a disciple. Anyone who wishes to be my disciple, you know, if you want to be, this is what you should do. But He doesn't say you have to do this. It's an invitation. And anyway, this is future tense. Now look at Matthew. For Joseph, it's a little different. 20 and 21, it says, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. Now be careful. What tense is this? It's all three. Isn't it? Well, yeah, past perfect. Someone's being smart. Who is that? Get them out of here. It says Mary has already conceived. The baby is already growing in her womb. That's definitely past. It's happened. Past perfect maybe. Yeah. Okay, good. But yeah, that's past, right? And then he says, don't be afraid to take Mary. What tense is that? That's the present. All right, because this has already happened, don't be afraid to do this today. But then he said, she will give birth. That's the future. So for Joseph, it's a whole different ball of wax, right? It's past, present, and future, right? It's already happened. It's stuff he has to do today, and stuff is going to happen in the future. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? The Old Testament prophecy in Hebrew, when the prophets were writing, they wrote that in the past tense. So prophecy in the Old Testament often is written in the past tense. Why would that be? Well, they call it the prophetic, you know, past. But then when they write it in English, they do it in the future tense. And not all prophecy is future telling. Some prophecy is just saying, this is the word of the Lord, or this is what God said. That's prophetic. But other times, it is future telling. And it's interesting that I think when God says something, it's as good as done. Amen? If he said it, it's done. And so it's as good as past. I mean, it's just always like, when I first got there, I thought, wow, that is so cool. God says it, it is past tense.
That's
right. It's already done. It's already done. But anyway, so God knows the end. He knows your end from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We all have a past, don't we? We have past sins, past experiences, past issues, sins against us, sins we have committed. We have present circumstances, right? And we can and must act in the present, but then we also have a future that is in God's hands. Amen? We have a future in God's hands. So we can trust him in all of our tenses. We can trust him with our past, the baggage we carry along, the good things we carry along. We can trust him in the present, what he's calling us to. And we can also trust him with our future.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's look at the questions that are asked. It's kind of interesting. They all had questions. And I appreciated Jeremy bringing that out last week, that Zechariah had a question. Why did he get rebuked for that? And the words that Jeremy used, it said his question was seasoned with doubt.
Right.
And that's a good phrase, because that kind of gives us a picture why Zechariah gets in trouble. Why doesn't Mary? Look at Mary, Luke 1:34. But Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? So Mary was, I think, believing it was going to happen, but she was wondering about the mechanics of it. You know, I don't get how this is all going to work out. I mean, yeah, I get it's going to happen, but how's it going to happen?
Right.
And so she wasn't asking in doubt. She was the kind of asking in curiosity, like, or I guess it's a little bigger than curiosity, right, if it's you, and you're the one that's going to have this. But she had questions. And then look at, in Joseph it says, verse 20, when he had thought this over, I mean, you think he wasn't questioning? He was trying to figure this out? He was thinking this over, do I believe Mary? Is she nuts? Is she lying to me? What is really going on? Is she hiding somebody? What is going on? It says, then the angel of the Lord appeared to him. He was going to put her away privately to spare her public disgrace. Or he could have put her away publicly and saved his honor.
Mm-hmm.
You see, by putting her away privately, he was also jeopardizing his own honor. We question God often, don't we? We argue with God. We negotiate with God. I still kind of hung up on that phrase. Tom Moore was here. He led our charge conference. And he said his favorite words are, but God. And he meant it in a positive way, right? Our problems are here, but God can do all things, you know. This happened, but God then did this. I mean, I love that idea. But we often use that phrase in a negative, don't we? I mean, Peter's a good example. Peter would often say, not so, Lord, or no, Lord, or but, you know. When in Matthew 16, when Peter announces Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Jesus said, God the Father has revealed that to you, and I'm going to call you Peter instead of Simon. And then he says, and I, because I'm the Messiah, I'm going to be turned over to the Gentiles, I'm going to die. And he starts to tell them what's really going to happen to the Messiah. And Peter puts his arm around Jesus and says, nah, not so, Lord. This will not happen to you. And remember what happens. What happens to Peter then? The Lord rebukes him and calls him Satan. He says, get behind me, Satan. So, I mean, we often want to tell God how to do things, right? John 11, when they're at the tomb of Lazarus, remember Jesus said, roll the stone away. What did Martha say?
But
Lord, it's been 4 days, it's going to sink.
Yeah.
We don't want to do this. She doesn't actually say, but Lord, but that was the impression. That was what was going on. In the upper room, John 13, Jesus is going to wash the disciples' feet. He gets to Peter. What's Peter say? You'll never wash my feet, Lord. Here again, he's no, Lord. I mean, we are often questioning God. Mary says, how will this be? Joseph is trying to figure it out. What do I do? What am I supposed to do? Are you questioning God right now? Are you in a moment in your life when you're questioning? You're saying, why God? Or, but... But no, Lord, we don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. What now? Or maybe you're in a positive way, kind of like Mary. How's it going to work out? But I believe what you said. I'll do what you say. But I don't see how it's going to work out. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you, Lord. The fourth observation would be the confirmations. It's kind of neat. I just think it's exciting. Luke 1, 36 to 38, after he's told her how it's going to happen, told Mary she's going to have a child, and it says, "Behold, even your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age. Nothing will be impossible with God." And there's a connection, right? There's a word of confirmation that like you know, you're trying to tell someone, "I'm not crazy, this really happened," and then you'll tell them something else happened, right? It's kind of the angels trying to tell her, "This is really happening, and look what God is already doing." Right. Nothing is impossible with God. There's a word of confirmation. Sometimes we need words of confirmation. Joseph, it really wasn't spoken to him, but it's spoken in Matthew's gospel. It says in verses 22-23, "Now all this took place that was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah." It doesn't say Isaiah. It's Isaiah 7:14. "Behold, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. So there's even prophecy, you know, like here there's a word of prophecy that confirms this, Joseph. You know, this is true. This is a thing. Because if you've never heard that before, like, how can you say that you're pregnant? I mean, that doesn't happen. And now we say, well, in Isaiah 7:14, it says that. So there's kind of a word of confirmation. Confirmation for me is when we are contemplating doing God's will, it's a word of encouragement. That we're on the right track. It's like a little sign, like, you got it, that's right, yep. Sometimes we view confirmation as we're looking for a sign, which isn't always good. Gideon would be a good example. Judges chapter 6, remember Gideon, when God called Gideon to be the next judge, and he was kind of hesitant, he was supposed to go to war. And he said, "Tell you what, Lord, if you're really calling me, I'm going to put this fleece, that's like a sheep, you know, skin, out on the ground. And if it's wet with dew and everything else is dry in the morning, then I know you called me. I'm looking for a sign." And in the morning it said, everything was dry, but he wrung out, so he got a bowl full of water out of the fleece. Well, then he says, "Oh, Lord, don't be angry with me, but tell you what, let's do this again. This time I want it the other way. I want everything around it wet and the fleece dry." And you know, it's wrong to put fleeces out. I believe that. But I want to say God sometimes comes down to our weakness, doesn't he?
Yes.
Even though I am weak in faith and I can't really do it, Lord, without either a clear sign or a swift nudge from behind, you know. He comes there. He comes to us. He knows us. Confirmations, though, are usually, I think, in a better way, when you're planning to do God's will and there's a word of confirmation. Even it can be little. Let me give you a real small example. I was here Tuesday night at the Furnace Room prayer meeting, and in the praying, somebody prayed for the lost in our city and the lost in our world, and I immediately, the Lord gave me a thought from Jonah chapter 4, where it says, "Shouldn't I have pity on the city of Nineveh? Has 120,000 people that don't know their left from their right."
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, man, that's kind of, don't like that phrase. So I looked it up in another translation, either the NIV or the New Living, and it said 120,000 people who live in darkness, spiritual darkness. And I thought, well, is that for me, Lord? Or should I share that with the group? Should I pray that? What do I, you know, because there's often times of sharing. And so I thought, okay, Lord, whatever. I'm good. Whatever you want me to do. And then Tara was leading worship. And so Tara prayed. And she prayed something about people in spiritual darkness. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I will share that when the time comes. And so I don't know whether I did it in prayer or whether I just shared Jonah 4 talking about how people around us are living in spiritual darkness. But it was a word of confirmation. I was willing to do it. I was willing to do it, but you know, I needed a little connection.
Mm-hmm.
And that the Lord gave that to me through Tara. You didn't know that, Tara. But God can give us words of confirmation. So I don't know what you're going through, but sometimes we see these little glimpses. We see these little moments of encouragement. Someone will say something to us, or we'll see something happening, or, you know, it's kind of like Elijah saying, he's praying for rain, and he sees the cloud the size of a man's hand. Like, that's all I needed. I just needed to know. I just needed a word. And I think Mary got the word. Elizabeth is expecting. She runs and sees Elizabeth. Joseph gets the word that scripture is being fulfilled in from Isaiah. Let's look at the description of Jesus in these passages. Do you know there's a little different description? If you look in Luke's gospel, he says, you shall call him Jesus. But then it says, he will be known as the Son of God. And God will give him the throne of his father David. Now, if you look back in the genealogies, Luke 3, 31, that's the next couple chapters, and it gives the genealogy of Mary. That's what we believe Luke's gospel is, the genealogy of Mary, through Jesus, through Mary. It says that he was a descendant of David, the descendant of Nathan. Now, Nathan was not in the royal lineage of David. So through Mary, Jesus doesn't really qualify to be on David's throne. You see what I'm saying? The lineage went through Solomon, but Mary comes out through Nathan. But God would give him the throne because he is the Son of God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not a human fleshly lineage. It is a spiritual lineage. He is on the throne of David because he is the Son of God. Matthew's gospel, it tells us, you shall call him Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from the sin. Literally, Joshua means Savior. He will save his people from their sins. And that's the emphasis. But if you look at the genealogy of Joseph, he is a descendant of Solomon. David, Solomon. Now I didn't follow it the rest of the way. But anyways, you just see that, you know, naturally, if he was Joseph's son, which he's not, he's a stepson, he has maybe rights to the heir through Solomon, through David and Solomon. But he emphasizes Savior. So what is he? Is he king or is he Savior? Both. He's king and Savior. He is Lord and Savior. So the question is, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you accepted him? Are your sins forgiven? Do you know that for certain? You know, I assume most of you have accepted Christ, but I know there's always people that are here that have never. They're like still holding on. They're like, we're not quite ready. You know, maybe you're waiting for a sign. I don't know what you're waiting for. One time witnessed to somebody and said about, you know, would you like to receive Christ? I'd love to lead you in a prayer. And I go, well, I'm looking for my moment. Like, really? You want the big moment, you know? You want the moment. Well, yeah, well, maybe this is the moment. But then, maybe more importantly, do you know him, Christian, as Lord? Mm-hmm. Is he the king of your life? Is he the one that's in charge? Is he one you look to as not just Savior, but also Lord, also King? And so in these two Annunciation passages, we have the emphasis both that he is Savior, but he is also Son of God and King. Make him King of your life. 7-6 would be the responses that we see. And it's kind of interesting, the responses. In Luke 1:38, Mary says, behold, the bondsman of the Lord. I think I'm always used to the handmaid of the Lord. You know, I don't know whether that's my Catholic background or where I get that from, but maybe the New King James or King James. But she makes a surrender. Be it done unto me according to your word. Joseph, on the other hand, says he woke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. Now, Mary's is more just one of submission. Right? Because what else was she supposed to do? She's going to wait until she's pregnant. I mean, right? It's just kind of the future is coming, and she was going to have to be willing to do it. Joseph, on the other hand, actually submits, but he submits by action. Right? it says he got up and he took Mary as his wife, and he did what he had to do. And I think sometimes in the future you can't do anything else but just submit. It's out of your hands. Like, okay, Lord, if you're going to do it, I'm yours. Go ahead. You do whatever you're going to do, because it's out of my hands. I can't do anything about it. But then on the other hand, sometimes we need to submit by showing it by our actions. I love the story of Abraham. Abraham, remember when he was called in Genesis 22 to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And it says, and I love the phrase God's voice connects, says, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. And it's almost a description of Jesus, isn't it? This is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. Jesus is the only begotten son of God, you know. But anyway, it says, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering. You know what happened in verse 3? Excuse me. I shouldn't shut that off. But it says, Abraham got up early in the morning and saddled the donkey and took him, and they went. He surrendered, but he demonstrated it by action, didn't he? It was an immediate action. In the future, sometimes you can do nothing but surrender, but in the present, it might be a time to act. Mm-hmm. I think maybe God is calling some of you to act right now. Some of you are just calling you to trust me. Just trust. It's going to come to pass. I'm going to do it. I promised I'd do it. You prayed. I said, it's okay. I got it. I've told you I've got it. How many times I've heard testimonies that I'm trusting the Lord. He just said to me, I got it. And I rested in him. Sometimes you just have to surrender and rest. It's the battle is the Lord's. It's not yours. Mm-hmm. But then other times the Lord is calling you to action. What is God calling you to do today because of Jesus Christ? What is he calling you to do this afternoon? Even more so. And then finally, let's look at confidence. I love this. Maybe confidence isn't the right word, but that's what came to me. Matthew 1:20, he says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Joseph, son of David. He is saying to Joseph, you're a son of a king. You're a king's son. Mm-hmm. What a confidence. And some of you need to hear that today. If you have accepted Christ and you're following him, you are a son and daughter of the king. You need to hear that. He loves you. You have authority. You have preeminence. You have worth. You're a son of the king. You're a daughter of the king. Don't let anyone treat you otherwise. Don't let anyone convince you that you're less than that. And then look at Mary. Of course, Mary is out of this world. Luke 1:28-30, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Then he says, don't be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. Now, you are in your own strength. I'll point to me, not to you. In my own strength, I am worthless. Right? You can point to yourself and say that. Not me, you, right? But in Jesus, I am favored. Amen. Amen? I am forgiven. I am accepted. I am favored by God. I am loved by God. John 1:12 says, as many as received him who believe in his name, he gives them the right to become children of God. He gives them power to become sons of God. That's us. Amen? That's you. God sees you. Remember the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, the wee little man? I always sang it Zacchaeus, but I guess it's Zacchaeus, actually. I still struggle to say Zacchaeus, but anyway, I always want to say Zacchaeus. You know who I'm talking about, right? He wanted to see Jesus, so he climbed up in the sycamore tree, and it's kind of, he didn't really expect to be seen. He just wanted to see. And what happened? Jesus stopped at his tree and said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm coming to your house today. You singing that come to your house for tea? Yeah, that's how I heard it. I didn't grow up singing that. I was Catholic, but I know Darlene's church taught me that very early. He basically saying, I see you, Zacchaeus. I see you. And I'm going to your house. I'm going to come to your house. My friends, God sees you. Some of you feel like God has forgotten you. You feel like you're invisible. You're not. He knows you. He sees you. He knows what you're going through. He is with you. You can't hide from the love of God. And I just love that verse. I get kind of hung up on it, but then Psalm 23, the last verse, I think it's 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The word follow really means pursue me. God is never going to let you go. He is going to follow you and pursue you the rest of your life because he loves you. He sees you and he knows what you're going through. Well, in closing, you think about this. Joseph and Mary had their plans. He probably was working on the house. He was like getting ready. They were going to get married. It was all set up. But God gave them a gift. Was he punishing them? Messing up their plans like he was? He definitely messed their plans up, right? Yeah. No, it was the gift of God. It was the most precious gift. And he announced that gift to them. And he wasn't being hard on them. God gives us good gifts. I know in Luke 11, Luke 18, we get the picture of God seems like an unkind friend who won't get up and help us, you know. But it says if you keep praying, God will answer. Luke, and then another one in Luke 18, that might be 18. Luke 11, where it says he's like an unjust judge, where the judge won't avenge this widow. But if she keeps praying, he will. And he says, ask, seek, and knock. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, because God will answer your prayers. You will find what you need, and he will open the door for you. He gives good gifts, my friends. The Lord is not giving you anything that isn't best for you. It isn't his grace to you. Receive that in faith today. Receive that. Whatever you're going through, trust him. You can trust him today for whatever he's calling you to. He's a good father. Amen? Amen. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you. Thank you that you announced to Mary and Joseph the birth of Jesus. But in so doing, you have announced to us as well. Lord, we hear you today. We know that you love us, that we are chosen and special in your eyes. And Lord, that you have our past, you have our present, you have our future. We will rest in you. Speak to us this morning, Lord, in ways that only you can. Give us ears to hear, we pray. In Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.